In our song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you, Dave, Bev, everyone that had a part in our service in preparing our hearts to hear from the Lord. Thank you for coming today. Before we turn to the Word of God, let's talk to the God of the Word one more time. Would you join me? Heavenly Father, it's so good to be here today in your house with your people, with the family of God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your peace in our heart. Please open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus and follow Him. For we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Let me take you down memory lane here for a moment. Do you remember any of these television shows? All in the Family. Happy Days. Friends. Cheers. Family Ties. Home Improvement. Everybody Loves Raymond. What do all these shows have in common? They all reflect a basic human need. The need to find a place of togetherness and belonging. They were about family, directly or indirectly. You say friends? Yes, somebody said that friends are family that you pick for yourself. I like that. So they all had something to do with family and belonging. That idea of belonging and acceptance was summed up beautifully in the theme song to Cheers. If you ever watched the show, the song said, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. That's a need we've all had since the Garden of Eden, since creation. You know, God looked at Adam. You remember God looked at Adam and he said, you know, it's not good for Adam to be what? Alone. It wasn't good for him to be alone. And so he made woman to be with him. And so from the very first person, God provided a solution to the problem of loneliness, acceptance, and belonging. And that's one of the beautiful things about church. When church is working right, it provides the place where we can find friends, where we can be accepted for who we are, where we can belong. Amen? Amen. Church can be all that. If we really want to make a difference, then I believe that we will help create in this congregation a place of genuine community, a place for people to gather and belong and grow and become what God wants us to be, a place, listen to me, where people can come and where they can struggle honestly with life. We don't have to put on airs and put on a front, but we can be real with each other and help each other and struggle with life together. Such a church will make a difference because there's so much need out there for belonging and companionship today. There's one thing I've seen in my years of serving the church is that there's a lot of lonely people out there. A lot of lonely people. And it can hit anyone and everyone. It even hits those in the church if we don't take time to be aware of the needs around us. One of the most fascinating stories I've heard concerned the pastor of a large church in Nevada. Just after they broke ground and were beginning construction, the pastor's wife hit him with the news that she was leaving him for another man. Can you imagine? He was devastated and immediately turned in his resignation. He had done nothing wrong. He had been faithful. But his wife had decided to leave him and divorce him. And because of that, the church decided to keep him on as her pastor. The church continued to grow. But the pastor was deeply wounded and hurt by the divorce. He said that the first Christmas Eve after the divorce was the loneliest night of his life. He had just finished a Christmas Eve service with 2,200 people in attendance. Everybody went home to their families, and he went home alone. He got home and he was hungry, but there was nothing to eat in the house, and so he decided to go out, but it was Christmas Eve. Not much is open on Christmas Eve. McDonald's was closed, Burger King was closed, everything was closed. So he ended up going to a place called Sam's Town, a Western-style casino with a restaurant that was open 24 hours a day, and he walked in and sat by himself in the booth for four. He said it was like a bad dream. I sat there eating a blue plate special, he said, thinking, I can't believe this is me. I just left 2,200 people that love me, and I'm here alone eating mashed potatoes and gravy. Just when I thought things couldn't get worse, someone put a quarter in the jukebox, and Elvis started singing, Are You Lonesome Tonight? As he walked back through the casino to his car, he saw hundreds of people with nothing better to do on a Christmas Eve than drop quarters into what we call one-armed bandits. It was a lesson in the loneliness of many other people's lives. See, that's really sad, isn't it? Yes, it is. But let me tell you something. There is, as Paul Harvey used to say, there's the rest of the story. Several years later, more than 1,000 people gathered on Wednesday night Bible study in that church. Wednesday night was their night for believer service. Weekends were geared more to visitors. So this was all church family on a Wednesday night. As they began, a guest speaker got up and said, I've got two announcements to make. Announcement number one is that your pastor just has gotten engaged. And announcement number two is that you're at the wedding right now. The doors opened in the back. The pastor's family came in, and then the bride and groom, and the wedding was performed, and there wasn't a dry eye in any seat in that church. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful story. Because here's a man that many churches would have turned their backs on and gotten rid of. But this church loved him back to health. They gave him a sense of belonging. There was a community there to bring healing to his family. And then they got to witness a brand new beginning. Folks, that's what the church is all about. A refuge, a place of healing, a community of believers sharing and growing together. It's what I like to call real church. Real church, real people with real problems, but real help in Jesus Christ and his word. I'd like to suggest to you today that church is to be a family of friends. A family of friends. It's to be Some call it our second family. Our second family. One dictionary defines family as, quote, people living in the same house, or, quote, a group of people related by ancestry. Well, we're together in the same house right now, aren't we, worshiping the Lord? And we have the same ancestry in Jesus Christ if we have been saved by Him. We're all part of God's family, aren't we? Amen? It's okay to say amen. It's a brethren church. Amen. Amen. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12 says that those who believe in Jesus Christ receive the right to become what? Children of God. The family of God. And we need that. We need that belonging. We need that relationship to others of like precious faith. I read about a family that went to the movies, and on the way in, the teenager stopped at the refreshment stand to pick up some popcorn. But by the time he got back into the theater, the lights had dimmed. You ever been there? Seen that? Have that done to you? The lights had dimmed. And he walked up and down the aisle looking in the crowd for his family in the near darkness, and the lights began to go all the way down, and he stopped and he asked out loud, "Does anybody recognize me?" Folks, we need a place. We need a group of people who will recognize me, who will recognize us and say, you know what? You're family. You're loved here. You're part of us. You're valued. You're an important part of this church. People are looking for that. People need that. Loneliness needs that. Folks, people are lonely. Loneliness is the bleakest word in the English language. We're a society of lonely people. I'm told that 70% more people live alone today than 30 years ago. 70% more. And smartphones and social media have only made things worse. There's been a book written and a movie made called Alone Together. That's a word that wouldn't have made sense 25 years ago. Those two words together wouldn't have made any sense, but they do now. You ever been to a restaurant? You walk in and it's total silence. Everybody's sitting there with a smartphone. Right? They're alone together. Loneliness reaches into all occupations, all walks of life. It can be someone in the military. It can be a divorcee in a new apartment. A new couple in town. A new student in school. A widow returning from the cemetery. A couple with two jobs and no home life. It can be a grandmother in the nursing home or a missionary in a foreign country. It can be any of us. Loneliness can affect anyone. You don't have to be single. You can be married and still be lonely. There are millions of lonely married people. They may share a table, a sofa, and even a bed, but they still feel lonely. A number of years ago, a woman wrote to Ann Landers and she said, "Dear Ann, my husband doesn't talk to me. He just sits there night after night reading the newspaper, looking at TV. When I ask him a question, he grunts, huh? Or uh-huh. And sometimes he doesn't even grunt, uh-huh." All he really needs, she says, is a housekeeper and someone to sleep with. He can buy both. There are times when I wonder why I got married. Isn't that sad? There are people just like her in our town. And it happens when you feel, rightly or wrongly, that nobody cares about how you feel. Nobody cares about what you're doing or who you are. Someone actually put an ad in the paper. Look what it said. "I will listen to you talk for 5 minutes with no comment for $5. It wasn't long until they were receiving more than 20 calls a day. And loneliness can hurt so badly that 5 minutes of listening for $5 can sound like a bargain. You know what? Even godly people can be lonely. We're going to take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 here in just a couple minutes, if you'd like to turn there in your Bible. Toward the end of his life, the Apostle Paul himself faced loneliness. He was separated from the community of believers. He was in a prison in Rome. And he wrote a letter to Timothy, his son in the faith, and he urged him to come and see him because he was lonely. There's a lot that the Apostle Paul can teach us about nature and the cure for loneliness. Look with me at 2 Timothy 4, beginning at verse 9. Writing to Timothy, he says, "Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. In my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Prudence, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers. First, let's admit that there is a temptation to criticize lonely people in the church. But if we do, we would have to criticize the Apostle Paul because he was lonely. We could say, well, if you were a better Christian, you'd understand that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. If you were a better Christian, you'd know that the Holy Spirit is there to comfort you. You shouldn't be lonely. But the reality is that Paul was a better Christian than anyone I've ever met, and Paul got lonely. And if the Apostle Paul could get lonely, you and I can be lonely sometimes. And it may have nothing to do with our spiritual maturity. Because of that, we need a place that will accept us, a place that will love us when we're strong and when we're weak, all the time will love us. You won't get that out in the world. The church should be the one place that's different. The one place that's a little slice of what heaven is going to be like someday. Do you realize that God is calling us to be a community with unique purpose, to show a lost world what heaven will be like one day, right now? Do you ever think about that? That's what we're called to be as the church. I know some of you have been to Disney World. Have you ever been to Epcot Center? Some of you may have been to Epcot. Anybody here been to Epcot? A couple of you? Okay, a couple of you have been to Epcot. Do you know why it's called Epcot? It's an odd name. Here's what Epcot means. It means the experimental prototype community of tomorrow. I'm told that Walt Disney originally envisioned this as a place where people who worked at Disney would live together in perfect harmony. People from all around the world would live together in perfect harmony. Experimental prototype community of tomorrow. It's supposed to show us what the future would look like. But folks, Disney is not the experimental prototype community of tomorrow. Do you know what it is? The church is the experimental prototype community of tomorrow. We're to show the world what heaven is going to be like. God started with the purpose of showing the world his redemptive love and what he had in mind before the fall of mankind. What community would have been like before sin came into the world and messed things up. People say, why is the world like this? Why is there sickness? Why is there murder? Why is there drug addiction? Folks, we broke the world. God didn't break the world. We live in a broken world. And the church is to show people what it could be like with Jesus in charge, where people are serving each other and serving the Lord. It is in this community that we can help mend each other in our broken places. We can hold each other accountable for our blind spots. We can offer forgiveness in Jesus Christ. We can encourage each other to be all that God created us to be. The church can be that and so much more. It's also a place where we can empower strong marriages. Folks, marriage is the greatest thing, but it's one of the hardest things that I know. I need other models around me to demonstrate what it means to be in a healthy, God-loving kind of marriage. There was once a guy who was trying to find the right girl to marry, and he found one he liked, and he brought her home, but his mom didn't like her. So he went out and found another girl he liked and brought her home, and his mom didn't like her. So he went out and found another girl that he liked and brought her home, and his mom didn't like her. So finally he went out and found one exactly like his mom in every way and brought her home, and his dad didn't like her. Folks, a lot of marriages need help, including yours and mine. And this should be the place where we find that help and that encouragement. This should be the place where we learn Christian parenting, a place where we nurture healthy identities. And if anything is needed in the world today, we need people with healthy identities, who they really are. And that's what we're here to do, to model the community of tomorrow, to be a prototype of heaven. To show the difference that Jesus Christ as Lord can make in a person's life. We're to model that and reach as many people as we can to be part of it. P People need that family of God connection. It's why God created the church, to be a family of friends. It's why we have community. And that's why we cannot ignore a world of hurting and lonely people who are just waiting for someone, anyone, to come and tell them that God loves them, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin, that He rose again to give them a new life, and that they can be part of this new, authentic community of people who are struggling together with life honestly and will help them and love them and pray for them and encourage them. It's God's solution for the Christian. The Apostle Paul was a great Christian, but he needed friends too. He needed friends. He needed companionship. He needed to know that somebody cared about what he thought, what he did, and who he was. And let's not make the mistake of thinking that Paul was there alone, because he wasn't in prison alone. People surrounded Paul. There were other prisoners. There were guards. But he was missing those who really loved him and cared for him. And there's a lesson here. You could be surrounded by hundreds of people at work, at school, at the grocery store, even in church, and you can still feel lonely. Because there's a difference between a crowd and a community, between a group and a family. There's a difference, isn't there? So how do we go from a crowd to biblical community? How do we make church a godly refuge to let people know that this is a place where they're cared for? How do we do that? Well, the first thing that Paul says to Timothy in verse 13, he says, when you come, bring my cloak. Bring my cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. And taking care of Paul's physical needs, Timothy was being more than just an associate. He was being a real friend. Someone says people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them. And how do they know that we care about them? Because we've met some of their needs. We show them we care that way. More people are reached with kindness, folks, than with right theology. People want to know you care, and that's what makes a difference in their life. And then Paul says, when you come, would you get Mark and bring him with you? I need a friend. There's a lot of people here, but I need Mark here. He's a friend. Do you remember the very sad story in John chapter 5 about the sick man at the pool of Siloam? Do you remember that story? The people around the pool of Siloam believed that when the water stirred, if you were the first one in the water, you would be healed. And Jesus says to a man who had been there 38 years, do you want to get well? And the man says, yes, but I have no one to help me get in the water 38 years without a friend. Can you imagine? Hundreds of people around him, day after day, but he didn't have one friend that would help him out. Folks, that's loneliness. And Jesus helped him, didn't he? People need to know that Jesus will help them. It doesn't matter how many people you come into contact with. What matters is this: do we take the time to develop meaningful relationships with one another, true friendships? And I have to be honest with you, this building that you're sitting in is not the place where that first happens. It's not the place where those relationships get created. They can be helped along here, but so much of the bonding, the building up, the caring happens when we get together and we eat together, we play together, we go on trips together, we do things together outside of this building that shows people we care about them. And that's why just attending on Sunday morning will never bring us to the point of really satisfying the needs of authentic community. It takes more than the crowd. It takes genuine, God-honoring, self-sacrificing friendship. And that doesn't just happen here. It happens out there. I like this. Someone says that the church is God's solution to a broken world. When it's working right, the church is the hope of the world, folks. They don't see it anywhere else. Anywhere else, if you don't behave well, if you don't produce, they don't like you. But here, we encourage each other. We lift each other up, even when there's failure. We pray for each other. We love on each other. So how are we doing? How are we doing? What do we need to do to help our church become more the family of friends? How are you doing in this area? Are you plugged in? Are you finding a refuge, a place of belonging here at Lakeside? I hope so. Let me ask you five questions to help you evaluate yourself on your connectability here, okay? So put on your thinking cap. Five questions. First, are you a member of the family of God? That's where it starts. Have you turned from your sinful self-centeredness? Have you come to God and said, Father, please accept me, not because of what I've done. Please adopt me because of what Jesus Christ did for me, dying for my sin on the cross. The Bible says if you will do that, you become a child of God that very day. If you will do that, you become part of God's family. And if you are a child of God, have you been baptized in obedience to Jesus? Are you a member of the family of God? Number two. Secondly, do you have friendships in the church? Research shows that people feel a healthy sense of community in a church when they average 7 vital friendships with others. We're to be a family of friends. Third question. Do you have a meaningful service or ministry in the church? God gave each of us spiritual gifts and abilities to be used as part of the body of Christ when we came into the family. You won't find full connectability until you're serving your brothers and sisters in Christ in some way. Fourth, do you get together with other Christians besides Sunday morning worship? We do have adult Bible fellowship before church. Eric's been here faithfully every Sunday. He's doing a series on how to reach others for Christ, right? How to talk to other people about the Lord. Do you get together with other people for maybe a Bible study with other Christians for prayer outside the regular morning worship service? And fifth, have you formally identified yourself with the church? There's a formal connection called church membership. Godly members strengthen a church. A member is anyone that's born again and a baptized believer that wants to join. Anyone. But membership brings connection, a sense of belonging. It brings a sense of responsibility, a sense of stewardship that God has given us this to care for, to be part of. Are you a member? Well, how did you do on that? It's too easy to drift in and out of worship services and never really connect with anyone. And the blame for that can lie with each of us. Sometimes we're in a hurry, okay? Sometimes we're in a rush. But slow down. Connect. Ask how people are doing and listen. People want to know that someone cares for them in Christ. Each of us must make this a place of authentic community, a place for real people to come and to meet with God and to struggle honestly with life. But it takes a personal decision to get involved as well. Here at Lakeside, we need to make it our goal to do our part to help everyone we can overcome loneliness and helplessness with authentic community. To truly become a family of friends. Will you commit to doing your part right now? If you will, tell the Lord in your heart. Just talk to Him right now. It's called prayer. Say, Lord, I want to do that. I want to be part of that community. Show me how to do it. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul has more than 100 friends that he lists. But how many of them came to see him in his time of need? Perhaps they thought another friend would go. If you want to have friends, someone said you have to be friendly. That makes sense, doesn't it? That means you take the initiative. You go to the hospital, the nursing home, to the new couple that just moved in down the street. To the new kid at school or the new person on the job. You make the phone call. You give the invitation. Smile. Be friendly. Do you know somebody today that's lonely? Somebody that's struggling with life? Do you want to make a difference in their life? Then go and do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Go do it today. Maybe you have another need here today. Maybe you need a place to get connected. Maybe you need a Savior to change your life. Whatever your need, Jesus is here today to meet with you. Don't leave today. If you're not sure about your relationship with the Lord or where you stand with Him, don't leave today without making sure. If I can help in some way, please let me know. But we're here, folks, to be a family of friends in Christ. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you so much for the Apostle Paul's example to us, that even he could get lonely. Open our eyes, Lord. Give us the eyes of Jesus as we talk to people around us to see those who are lonely, those who need a Savior, those who need encouragement, those who need prayer. And help us to take the time, Lord, to minister, to not be in such a hurry all the time, but to love on others and encourage them in their faith and point others to Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.